Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast. The Boldness.
Hello and welcome to the Boldness.
On this rather, rather wintry, well, rather wintry night in Melbourne town. Anyway, tonight. In fact, before we get into that, we should tell you that the Boldness is all about grabbing your human rights and not just waiting for some well-meaning person to give them to you. So go and demand your human rights. Anyway, I should introduce our usual co-host, Daniel Kirby. Welcome, Daniel.
Good afternoon, Finn. How are you?
Very well. Now, what's coming up on today's show?
Well, tonight we've got a very hot topic. Tonight we're talking with Samantha Connor, creator of the Australian Disability Parking Wall of Shame.
We are indeed. So hopefully we can get her on the line all the way from hopefully sunny Perth, which is a lot different to Melbourne's weather currently.
Well, Finn, is it? What's the big problem with disability parking to start with, Finn?
From my knowledge, or from my viewpoint, people really don't understand it. I mean, it's there to help people with disabilities, but I think often people who don't have disabilities just park there purely because they're suiting themselves and they're self-interested. I don't necessarily think that they mean to do any harm or be or disrespect people with disabilities. It's just that they often just are thinking for themselves and without thinking about other people's needs.
Well, is that? It will be quite interesting to see what Samantha has to say.
And it certainly will be. And hopefully, and so we might play a bit of a song, and we'll be back after the song with Samantha. Back on 3CR 855 AM. This is The Boldness, and I think we just heard the Bare Brass Asylum Orchestra. I can't remember the actual song title, but I know that they've launched an EP. I know that they've recently launched an EP, so it's probably the name of the EP. That's very embarrassing.
Why don't you smile about it? Because that's the name of the song.
Oh, there
Ben.
You go. I can smile about my mistake. Magnificent. All right, well, it's time to introduce our first guest for this evening, Samantha C-
Connor, who is the creator of a Facebook group, Australian Disability Parking Wall of Shame. Welcome, Samantha. How are you?
Good, Finn. How are you?
Very well. Now we should, disability parking has got into the news of late because a Melbourne FM commercial FM DJ might have parked illegally in a disabled car spot and made a bit of a joke about it, and there's been quite the furor about disability parking and what it means. What are your thoughts on the reaction to Fifi Box?
I'm sort of hit with a little bit of a cross between horror and especially about the community response to it, and also I guess a bit of delight that the issue's actually been raised and profiled a little bit over the last few days. I think it's of concern that some people are saying, look, it's not really a big deal, just move along, when for a lot of people in Australia it really is a big deal.
What are some of the issues around someone taking a disabled car parking spot, Samantha?
Well, it's interesting. Today I went to a shopping centre and parked and thought, oh, this is where I was actually run over last year. I went and counted, you know, how many people were parked illegally in the parking bays at the shopping centre, and 10 out of 12 of the people parked didn't have a parking permit to say that they were a person with a disability with a legal parking permit. And so I very slowly and carefully went through the car park to take my shopping back to the car, and somebody who was doing their makeup in the car in a four-wheel drive reversed into me and ran me over. So it was kind of, you know, that's probably the extreme end of the issue. But for some people, you know, some people just aren't able to park further away, and literally they have to sit there in circle for an hour until they can find a car parking spot, or they have to pack up and go home.
What don't the general public understand about disability parking spots and the need for them?
I'm sorry, can you speak up a bit?
I can. What do you think people don't understand about the need for disability parking spots?
Oh, I think there's a bit of a perception that there's not many people who have a disability, and, you know, when in fact it's 20% of the Australian population, and 80% of parking permits are also used by seniors who have disabilities acquired by age. So, you know, you really are talking about perhaps your mum or your granddad, or somebody with an invisible disability, you know, something like cancer or emphysema, and something that people can't necessarily see. I think the other thing is, which Fifi Box highlighted, she said, well, you know, it was 6 o'clock in the morning and nobody was there. And I thought, you know, there really is an assumption that people, I'm not quite sure what the assumption is, but that we don't have ordinary lives. So, you know, I have six kids, I'm a scout leader, I'm active in the community, I just happen to use a wheelchair. And there's no reason that I wouldn't have been at the shopping centre at 6 o'clock in the morning, as well as Fifi Box. So probably more likely to be, actually. So I think that perception that perhaps we all live at home, you know, with one cat, and we occasionally venture out bravely into the community is a little bit of a false thing.
Well, I think what it probably highlights is that people only really think of themselves instead of thinking, going into with the mindset, well, so if I actually park in this spot, I might be affecting someone who actually needs it.
Yeah, that's and that I think there's that, you know, part of it is that lack of regard, and part of it is that lack of the understanding of how important that might be. I know a lot of parents who have children with disability, for example, who, you know, have to get out of the car, struggle with an electric wheelchair and an oxygen bottle, and it's you know, it's hard to do anyway. You take a huge amount of energy actually to stress your body just to get towards shopping shops or pharmacies or doctors or workplaces, and so when you see people just disregarding disregarding that, when we actually have legislation in place to make sure that people can't illegally park, it really is a little bit of a kick in the guts. And when you get a little bit of a kick in the guts 40 times a week, it can be really difficult for people who are already sometimes doing it hard.
Oh, Samantha, I liken a disability parking spot to being a red light in a country town. Should a person actually still go through the red light because nobody else is there? It's the same with a parking spot, wouldn't you think so?
Well, yeah, I live in a country town. I'd probably... we've got boom gates with a tray. We don't have any parking lights in our country town. But, you know, I drive through the city at night time, and 3 o'clock in the morning, there's not people there. I wouldn't go through a red light. I guess the difference is that, in the city, that you're probably aware that there might be a red light camera, there might be a police officer lurking around the corner, and people are a little bit frightened of also doing the wrong thing there. So it's less about the safety thing and consideration and more about the fact that you might get penalised, which isn't necessarily the case when it comes to disability parking.
Well, what about the disability parking? A person maybe have to manoeuvre a wheelchair, let's say from the back of a van, for example. What happens if the person parks too close to the van because they've gone over where the disability parking bay is?
Yeah, it depends really on what type of van and what type of equipment you're using. A lot of people have hoists on the top of their car, which sort of takes one wheelchair space plus a bit. And if you're parked too close, usually if you're parked really, really close to the other side, and you're just not able to get out. So a lot of people just can't get out of their car. I'm fortunate in that I can walk a bit and have sticks, so I can, put my wheelchair in the boot and can park, but I just can't travel very far. And so I need that closer spot, whereas for some people it's about having that wider parking space.
What sort of awareness, or what can be done, I guess, to change people's perception of disability parking spots in their, and their need? Do we need an awareness campaign, or is there some other way of doing it?
I think we need a bit of a multi-pronged approach, at the risk of sounding like a government worker. I think the Disability Parking Wall of Shame is a good start, that we have a community of people with disability and family members who can get together and share information about legislation and talk and, raise community awareness and do some public shaming, I guess, which is an old-fashioned approach but sometimes a good one. But I think also there needs to be some systemic work as well, where people are actually talking to local government authorities and saying, hey, look, this is a really good opportunity for you to actually make some money. So people are more unlikely to park in a parking spot if they're going to get hit with a $1,000 fine. So I think the awareness, I heard Darren Hinch talking about this issue with Fifi Box, and he said, look, it's a really shameful thing to do this, and I think most people don't actually see it as a shameful thing. So maybe we do need an awareness program, which is something like the one that was run with the coward punch. That it's not okay to act antisocially and to do terrible things to other people, even if it is by accident or because you're busy or because you didn't think about it.
Samantha, what do you think the idea of adding demerit points for parking repeatedly in disabled parking is a fair call?
Oh, that'd be great.
You do this. So if a person does this, let's say, 4 or 5 times, now they'd have to be almost a serial offender.
There's many serial offenders. I think the issue with that is that there's the way that that parking, disability parking spots are actually policed is not by the police, and so that's an issue for that's an issue across the board. You know, sometimes shopping centre car parks have done deals with the local ranger. You know, it's a local government authority responsibility. Sometimes it's the shopping centre themselves, and it's usually a local government thing, unless it's parking on the street, in which case it's a parking inspector. But I'd certainly think it would be lovely if people were hit with a parking demerit point, you know. It really, you know, when you're looking at safety and public safety, it is an issue. There's a YouTube video called Just 2 Minutes, and it really profiles, you know, the possibility that somebody can be killed when somebody reverses into a wheelchair user.
Right, now, how long has the Facebook page Disability Parking Wall of Shame been running for?
I think we've only been running for about a year and a half, perhaps. And it's, as of today, there are 2,328 members, so it's a big group. We're a very diverse group of people who have a lot of really different experiences and opinions, and I think some of the best things that have happened out of that is that people who have different types of disabilities and different circumstances have become more aware of other people's issues. So, yeah, it's been a real journey, and actually a real privilege to actually be involved in the group.
We should probably explain just at this point, what is the disability, Australian Disability Parking Wall of Shame?
It was originally an idea that we had. There's a couple of other groups which are actually also running on Facebook, I should mention, where people do the same thing. But the idea was, because it's a thing that makes you feel very powerless when you're circling around a shopping centre for 40 minutes looking for a car park at Christmas time, you know, and you can't find one because there's all these people illegally parked. So I think it was an idea of empowering people without, in a way that was a little bit more harmless. Some people are advocates of keying cars and letting down tyres and that kind of thing. And apart from the fact that, you know, it's illegal and antisocial, it's also dangerous because some people who park in accessible parking bays aren't necessarily nice people, and, you know, there's a very good chance that you're going to get beaten up if you're caught doing it. So we thought that the name and shame approach, Facebook is a great medium and has, you know, great connectivity across Australia. And we thought it would be a good idea so that people could sort of empower themselves to take a photograph of somebody without a permit. They always check for the permit, take a photograph, and post it on the wall. And it's been really interesting. There's some very, you know, there's, I think Bunnings is the probably the top offender in terms of car parks with people who have trailers who are parked across three disability bays. And a lot of people who share information with each other have really sort of got courage to act, whereas before they would just go home and be upset about it. But people are now contacting local radio stations, newspapers, writing letters to business owners, and sharing those photographs to actually make people aware that this isn't an okay thing to do.
Samantha, is that one of the things I found on Google? It was a picture of a car park, and there was a few little things that were placed there with placards saying, "Gong, we'll be back in a couple of minutes." And that was to highlight the issue around disability parking when someone actually takes their spots. Do you think that's reasonable?
No, not really. It's, you know, it might just be a couple of minutes, but if you're driving past, you're not going to know that it's just for a couple of minutes because it takes a couple of minutes to drive past.
Well, but that's what I'm actually saying, Samantha, is that people had actually placed some wheelchairs in able-bodied parking and just left them there with those placards highlight what would happen if their spots were taken.
Yeah, I do remember seeing this. Yeah, I think acts of activism can sometimes be really, really you know, effective in raising awareness, because this has been an issue for a really long time, and I don't think things are changing. So I'm not just a disability advocate, I'm an activist, and I would actually have a laugh as I drove past, I think.
Right, also, if a person has a disabled parking sticker, do they have any extra time when they're parking at normal bays?
That depends from state to state. So in some states you'll have double time, and in some states it's different. You know, so there was a big push for a harmonisation of disability parking across Australia, and as you can imagine, there are many, many stakeholders and many, many opinions with this issue. And so at the moment, it's different depending on where you are.
Now, I was speaking tonight with Samantha Connor, who is the creator of the Facebook group Australian Disability Parking Wall of Shame. Now, there's also, anecdotally, I'm told that there are people who had the parking permit legitimately because they used to take their dear old mum to appointments and shopping and the like, and now poor mum has since died, but they've kept the sticker. Are you hearing stories like that, and what should those people do?
I think that's where the awareness of shaming needs to come in, because even when mum hasn't died, sometimes family members will just take it out and use mum's sticker, you know, or mum's car. So it is a difficult thing to police, I think. There was some discussion about people having their photograph, you know, on the actual permit, and I don't think any of those discussions have been resolved. So I really think that it's going to be a community, you know, a combination of community awareness where people can actually, you know, really feel ashamed of their behaviour if they get caught doing that, and policing. And so maybe it's about, you know, matching a person's, checking parking permits to make sure that they're in date. I know that they need to be applied for every year. So presumably if mum's died a year ago, it's not going to be an issue for too much longer.
Well, a lot of people just say, I'll keep the permit just because it's convenient without actually thinking about it, I suppose. So if we can eradicate that would be good. But also, there was a push to make disability parking laws universal and have different type of permits for permanent disability or temporary disability, but that doesn't seem to have ever happened.
No, and it's it is difficult that that some people do have temporary disabilities, and you know, you might, for example, have a hip replacement and be using a wheelchair for a period of time that's not just a few weeks, you know. So it's quite reasonable for people who need to continue on with their day-to-day life, you know, need to have a temporary parking permit. So I think the key to all of this is conversations with people with disability to understand what our lives look like, what our circumstances are, and for the people who are the decision makers to actually engage with that rather than sort of making ad hoc decisions about us instead of with us.
Because with the Fifi Box furore, or Fifi Box Gate as it's been dubbed, people are trying to get Fifi to spend a day with someone with a disability to find out what it's like.
Yeah.
Do you think that would be a good idea?
I felt slightly bad for Fifi on about day one, and I think it would be good. I think it's disappointing the way that Fifi has reacted by saying that she's being targeted by online trolls. If Fifi had mistakenly or on purpose entered an art competition for Aboriginal people and she'd realised or had thought that she was going to be caught, and then she'd painted her face brown in the girls' toilets before going out into her car, you know, people would be righteously horrified, you know. And the response to people getting caught for poor behaviour, and especially doing something as silly as bragging about it online, you know, and on the radio, really should just be, look, I stuffed up, I'm sorry. And I think people well and truly would have got over it. I know another radio station has been accused of, you know, beating this up, and a guy called Tom Elliott. I actually sent him a Facebook message and said, look, I'd just like to say thanks for raising awareness of this issue. And he actually had a granddad with multiple sclerosis. So, you know, so I think it's just about awareness that, you know, Fifi Box might not have anybody with a disability in her life to understand how it impacts us. So spending a day in the life of a person with a disability might make a difference for Fifi in the way that she actually regards disability parking.
Along the wider issues, that if a person was to spend a day about disability parking, it could also be extended to accessible tram stops and stations as well. And then maybe legislators would actually get a very clear idea what it was really like and get a widespread community change.
It would be great, actually, because transport is such a huge issue for so many people. And there's some discussion in WA at the moment about getting some politicians to spend the day riding the trains, you know, to see what that actually looks like for a person with a disability. I think, you know, obviously you're not going to experience what everything is like in a day, but it certainly can change the way that you think about things. I travelled to Sydney a few weeks ago with a friend who doesn't use a wheelchair, and she was horrified because she was with me and she couldn't get a cab. So cab drivers routinely won't stop for wheelchair users. They expect you to have a short fare. It's a pain in the neck picking up a wheelchair. And so, you know, we wanted to go shoe shopping because we're girls. and it was raining. and she was horrified that, you know, five cabs just went past and ignored us. So I think, you know, if she'd been told about that, it has a different impact than actually experiencing it for yourself.
So now we're running sadly out of time, but can you just give us a bit of a shout out for the Australian Disability Parking Wall of Shame? Where can people go on Facebook?
Absolutely. Look, if anybody wants to join, feel free to come and join us. We welcome all of everybody's diverse views. We don't just have people with disability. We also have people who just like rules. We have people who, you know, who are members of the public. It's not a restrictive group. And, yeah, look, it's great to have a really diverse group of people who are able to talk about the issues on the Australian Disability Parking Wall of Shame.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for joining us tonight, Samantha, and good luck with the Facebook group, and let's hope we can get a better understanding of disability parking.
Fantastic. Thanks, Finn.
Cheers. And that was Samantha Connor, who is the creator of the disability parking, the Australian Disability Parking Wall of Shame, and sadly we have to go. We'll be back next month, I think August the 20th, if I'm correct. Anyway, we're going to leave you with a track,
and it's a very apt song we're doing. It's called "Do Something" by Joe Solomon and Friends.
There you go. Tamil Voices are up next. See you later.